This is part of the evening news introduction about this chant. Saint Paul after he finished the third missionary trip, he went to Jerusalem. And as he comes from, he first visited James, because James was the bishop of Jerusalem. And he talked to him about how God opened the door to the Gentiles. And many Gentiles actually accepted the king and became Christian. Everybody rejoiced, but they were concerned about the things of the food. And they told him, here in Jerusalem, we have many converts to Christianity from the Jews. And these Christians who converted from Judaism are very loyal to the law of Moses. And we learned that when you preach the Gentiles, you told them it is not necessary to keep the circumcision and to keep the ritual of the law of Moses. And this offends them very much. So we will give you our advice. We have four men, they made a vow. Take them and enter into the temple and do according to the rite of purification. So when the Christian from Jewish background sees that you are keeping the law and you are keeping the ritual of purification, they will calm down and they will not attack you. And Paul actually agreed. He listened to the advice of St. James and all the others. He agreed to their advice. And this actually compliment from St. Paul, because he knows that with Christianity there is no need to keep the law of Moses. Because the law of Moses was not a symbol to especially the Israelite part. Faithful to the New Testament, to the New Covenant. But St. Paul actually listened and agreed to do according to the advice of St. James and all the others. What happened? This one we will study tonight, starting from verse 26. Let's read verse 26. It's the first view of the screen. Then Paul took the head, and the next day, having been purified with this, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. So according to the law of Moses, people may make vows for a certain time, make vows for 2 months, 1 year, 6 months. At the end of this vow, they should go to the temple and spend 13 days. These days are called the days of purification. And at the end of the days of your purification, they have to offer a certain offering. That's why the Paul, as you read in this verse, he took the men, the 4 men, the next day, having been purified with them, and he entered the temple to announce that they fulfilled the days of purification. The days of purification had expired. They fulfilled the days of purification, and now they should offer, make the offering, each one of them according to the law of Moses. So can also be made amongst your Bible there. The interpretation and give notice that the sacrifices would be offered at the day of Christ, which is the completion of the day of purification, and the very opinion of the vow be proved. Then we said, now when the seventh day was almost ended, these are the days of purification. The Jews from Egypt, seeing him in the temple, filled up the whole tower and laid hands on him. Actually, the temple should be a place of safety, a place of protection. Anybody enter the temple should be protected there. But this place of protection became a place of arrest to control. And they attacked him with violence. Even here is not the continent of Asia, but even here is a province, a Roman province, of which Ephesus was the capital. Now it is Turkey. In modern day, now it is Turkey. And we see how St. Paul obeyed St. James and the elders, and went to the temple and fulfilled the day's purification and offered the sacrifices. But, and he did all of this to calm down the Jews. But instead of calming down the Jews, actually what he did, instead of threatening them, provoked them to anger, and actually they laid hands on him and arrested him. These Jews came from Asia, from Africa. Although St. Paul ministered in Africa, St. Paul spent 3 years in Africa, so they know him very well. And they were watching him, what would he do in the temple? And he saw, they saw with him an Ephesian Greek, a person who is Greek from Africa. His name is Trophimus. And they assumed that he allowed Trophimus to enter the temple. And so then, if a Gentile enters the temple, actually then defies the temple. That's why they became very angry, as we read in verse 28. So these people who laid hands on Paul, they said, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and his place." So the accusation that St. Paul is teaching against the faith of the people, against the law of Moses, and against the temple. And furthermore, he also brought meat in the temple and has defiled his holy place. So according to this, if another Jewish person enters the temple will be defiled. So we find this holy place. And why he made this accusation? For they had previously seen Trophimus. Trophimus, as I explained, was a Greek from Athens. Trophimus, the Ephesian, was there in the city. Who they suppose that Paul has brought him into the temple? Or brought that Paul is brought him into the temple? So, when they saw St. Paul in the temple, keeping and fulfilling the vow of the Nazarite, seized him and raised an iron cross. they arrested St. Paul and actually provoked from the people to cry against St. Paul. They filled up the whole town and seized St. Paul. They tried out charges against St. Paul and actually sent James and all the elders had expected. In the introduction I told you, St. James said to St. Paul, the Jews here will be them offended if they see you, because they know you are preaching that circumcision and all the rituals of the law of Moses will not need it in the church. So what they expected actually happened. The people became very angry and they arrested St. Paul. And in addition to the charges that St. James and the others expected, they added another charge, which is St. Paul brought Greek into the temple, and thus he defied the temple. So actually, all these accusations were false accusations, because St. Paul did not defy the temple, did not see from him to him to the temple, and actually his teaching that no need for circumcision was supported by the Council of Jerusalem, the Fifth Council of Jerusalem. So the fourth discharged him with ill doctrine, ill practice against the law of Moses. Verse 30, and all the city was disturbed. Can you imagine Jerusalem full of Jews? And when they hear that St. Paul defied the temple, all the city was disturbed. And the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. So, which doors were shut? St. Paul was inside the inner court. So actually, they dragged him outside the inner court. And after they dragged him outside the inner court, they closed the door, they closed the gate, to prevent the pollution of the sacred court by the shedding of blood, which is not the blood of St. Paul. Because as we see now, they intended to kill him. And if they killed him inside the court, this actually will be considered as if they defied the temple from heaven. So they want to kill him without defying the temple. That's why they dragged him outside the inner court and they closed the gate. Lest the inner court be taken here will be defiled by the blood. And I want you to see the hypocrisy of the Jews. They were willing to kill St. Paul, but not to protect the temple. They were willing to kill him, but outside St. Paul, lest they protect the temple. And we read actually in verse 51, now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So the intention is to kill him, but they wanted to kill him without profaning or defiling the temple. Actually, the commander, the Roman commander, heard about this plan and he heard the uproar of the people. Well, the Roman garrison actually in Jerusalem was stationed at a fortress called Antonius Fortress. And this fortress actually was located on the northwest corner of the temple and looking down from the temple. So it was very easy for any guard sitting at the fortress to look down and to see the floor and to see the people dragging the floor, wanting to kill them. So it was very easy for the guard of duty to see and report the commotion to the temple, the courtyard below, because it was on the northwest part of the temple, northwest corner of the temple, looking down on the temple. So actually, the commander came with the soldiers to see what's going on. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the tribunal that the whole Jerusalem was in an uproar. Verse 22, he immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when he saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating coal. Practically, they were beating the coal, but once they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating him. When the Jews saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating the coal. What the commander did, actually, he immediately arrested the coal. As we read in verse 17, then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and he asked him who he was and what he had done. So he actually, the commander chained him before knowing whether he was guilty or not. Just seeing the multitude beating Kassol, he assumed he's a criminal. So actually, he bound him with two chains, and then after this, he started to ask, who is this man and what he has done? Actually, later on from verse 38 in the fifth chapter, we know that the commander assumed that Kassol was the Egyptian prince or the Egyptian criminal who started as a Median in Jerusalem. That's why he ordered him to be bound. And he started to ask, what did Kassol did? But actually, he couldn't get an answer. As we read in verse 34, and some among the multitude tried one thing, and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth, because of the children, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. He started asking the people, who is this man? What did he do? But actually the people did not give him a clear answer. So he was confused. He didn't know what was the crime against the poor. And because of this, actually, he commanded to take him to the barracks. When they reached the fight, when they reached the field, as I told you, the rifle was looking down, so it was like the second floor. So this steel, they were still going to the ground. And when he reaches the steel, he has to be carried, Kassol has to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the law. Can you imagine maybe thousands of people want to kill Kassol? That's why the soldiers to get him to the barracks, the soldiers had to carry Kassol in order to take him over the field. For the multitude of the people followed after crying out, away with him, children. This reminds me when actually they cried against the Lord Jesus Christ, crucifying him, it's the same cry. Away with him means by death. Kill him, let him out, crucify him as we said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barrack, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak to me?" So Paul actually wants to have like a talk with the commander. So he called him, "Can I speak to you?" And apparently Paul spoke in Greek. So the commander was surprised to hear that Paul speaking in Greek, because he assumed that he is the Egyptian who started rebellion in Jerusalem. So he told him, "Can you speak in Greek?" And then in verse 38, it clarifies for us that he assumed that the Paul was the Egyptian rebel. Verse 38, "I am not the Egyptian who some time ago set up a medium and gave the 4,000 and sent him out into the wilderness." Apparently there was an Egyptian who started a rebel, and actually 4,000 men were murdered, or in the language of our nowadays, the Roman period, followed him. And St. Paul thought that the commander thought that St. Paul is this Egyptian rebel. So when he heard him speaking in Greek, he told him, "Then you are not an Egyptian who sometime ago set up a rebellion and then the whole covenant and sent him out into the wilderness." This question, are you not dead, means that the commander was surprised because he assumed he is this Egyptian prisoner, but now he doesn't know why they arrested him. This is a deep grief, which means he's highly defeated person. So how come they beat him up in Jerusalem? Can Paul answer the question of the commander, verse 9? But Paul says, "I am a Jew from the school in Cilicia, a citizen of Nomin city." Nomin city means not small city. Tarsus and Cilicia actually is not a small city. And I implore you, permit me, allow me to speak to the king. So St. Paul explains that he is a Jew from Tarsus, which means, from Tarsus means he is a Roman citizen. Roman citizen. And being a Roman citizen, he could not be beaten for being chained. And St. Paul actually requested to speak to the people, asking the commander, giving him a chance to speak to the people. Now we can imagine the scene, St. Paul on the top of the stairs, protected by all the soldiers, and then at the bottom, all the angry multitude waiting to hear St. Paul and crying, away with him, he wants to shelter him. Actually, as we read in the last verse 40, that actually the commander permitted him. So when he had given his permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, So transpose star possesses the Hebrew, and the Hebrew language possesses the language that starts to make him the head. So the long philosopher said about this, was nobler gesture than that of transpose at this moment. This is true. Balanced with two chains, ready to make his defense to the people. The Roman commander takes power to enforce order by his presence and enrages populace look up to him from below. Yet in the midst of so many nations, Caesar's authority is the So transport actually in spite of all the people crying against him, saying away with him, in spite of the two chains in his hand, in spite of all the soldiers around him, he could not lose his peace. Eventually, he was able to address the multitude. One of the people had peace in his heart because Christ is with him. He actually extends his peace from within, not from outside. From the Holy Spirit inside him, not from the external circumstance. So what do we learn from these few verses from chapter 21? We learn about how the Lord accepted suffering for Christ willingly. He wasn't here before going to Jerusalem, not to go to Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem he would be arrested. But the Lord said, my soul is not precious for me. I'm willing not only to be bound, but to die for Christ. This actually teaches us about the peace and the joy in the heart of the Lord, in spite of all the external circumstances. But he was calm, he was quiet, he actually was able to hold his peace and to speak to the people. And as we will see in the next chapter, that the woman he admits the people, he actually, in a way, teaches them more than defending himself. In every defense, the poor was more interested in preaching Christ than in defending himself. This actually brings us to the conclusion of the chapter.